Tonight we will be studying the main theme of the Lord's Day 19, which is the second coming of Christ. And I invite you to turn with me to page 26 in the back of your Psalter, Hymnals for Three Questions. And then afterwards, to the Scriptures for the explanation that Jesus will come back and what happens when he does. Question number 50. From the Apostles' Creed that we confessed, continuing on from our study of the Ascension last three weeks, why the next words, "and sitteth at the right hand of God"? And the answer is Christ ascended to heaven there to show that he is head of his church and that the Father rules all things through him. And then question 51, how does this glory of Christ our head benefit us? First, the answer is, through his Holy Spirit, he pours out his gifts from heaven upon us, his members. And second, by his power, he defends us and keeps us safe from all enemies. And then finally, question number 52, and this is our main concern this evening. How does Christ's return to judge the living and the dead comfort you? And the answer is, in all my distress and persecution, I turn my eyes to the heavens and confidently await as judge the very one who has already stood trial in my place before God, and so has removed the whole curse from me, all his enemies and mine. He will condemn to everlasting punishment, but me and all his chosen ones he will take along with him into the joy and the glory of heaven. This evening I'd like you, if you are willing, to be a real student of the Bible. I remember when I was first a Christian, in my 30s, by the way, I really had an interest in the end times, what was going to happen when Christ came back. And I went to seminars and teachings on prophecies. And I remember at one time I had a Bible filled with charts and all kinds of things from all kinds of different people about the book of the Revelation and what it really meant and what was going to happen and what can we predict about the nations tomorrow and why these wars were happening and all of these things. And I really didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing in the meantime and why everybody disagreed on lots of different things about the aspects of what was happening and all the visions and these things. And then I went to seminary and I studied under Reformed scholars, and it made it a lot simpler for me. You don't need to study the book of the Revelation. What you need to know is what the Scripture says before that book. And that's what we're going to do this evening, to study about what will happen when Christ comes back, because that's the subject of our catechism. What comfort is it to us, knowing that he's coming back? What the Bible says will happen when Jesus comes back. That's what we want to do this evening. And I make no apologies for the fact that none of what really matters, as you and I with uplifted head look for that same person, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes from the book of the Revelation, nor comes from any of the explanations that you might see on prophecy programs on certain Christian broadcasters, such as on the Miracle Channel. And there is a good reason that the book of the Revelation is the last book of the Bible, and that everything you need to know comes before that. I have listed in the bulletin that the main text this evening comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. And that is where we will end up. But first, there is some explanation of what will happen when the Lord comes back from the Gospels, mostly from the lips of the Lord himself, that will be very helpful. So please have your Bibles ready. In answer to question 52, how does Christ return to judge the living and the dead comfort you? And so, we need to understand, first of all, that when he comes back, he separates. He separates. And this will begin to demonstrate what happens to all his enemies and my enemies. It makes it personal, doesn't it, in the catechism? And what happens to me and all his chosen ones, to you and his elect, who he will take along to heaven with him. Jesus speaks of this in something maybe we've all been familiar with, the parable of the weeds. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, and we will read, first of all, from there, beginning in verse 24, about when he comes back, how he separates. The parable of the weeds. I am of the mind, as I studied the method of John Calvin, that in the evening service, he had more of a teaching ministry, and that is what we will do tonight. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 24, says, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. And so the servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so, the Lord himself begins to teach his disciples and those who are listening through the gospel the process of separation in the kingdom of heaven. It is done at the time of harvest when the master himself, Jesus Christ, will separate the weeds. First, have them burned. So when the master comes back, he will separate the good harvest from the bad. We need to understand that first. These are the words of Jesus himself. And then next in this same process, we see the element of judgment. In other words, when he comes back, he will judge, because he's the righteous judge. And so for that, we will turn to Mark chapter 13. Once again, the words of Jesus. Beginning in verse 22 and reading through verse 27, Mark chapter 13. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And please turn with me in the same gospel to Mark chapter 14. The next chapter. Two verses. Verses 61 and 62. As he's being questioned by the high priest, he remained silent, it says, and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Now, let us add these two passages to what we already know. When he comes back in his power and glory on the clouds, as we expect, with, as the Catechism says, our eyes turned toward the heavens, he also comes not only to separate, but to judge. His enemies, who are the false Christ and those false prophets, and also at the same time to gather those who are his elect. Note that Jesus witnessed this to the church and his people so that they and we would be warned. Now, there is a gospel scripture that puts these two concepts together in the same passage. And that means when he comes back, he separates and he also judges. And that would be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Please turn there with me. This, by the way, is the Reformed understanding of what happens when Jesus comes back. In verse 24 of Luke chapter 9, we begin there and it says, thank you for being patient with the Lord as he explains this to you. For who would ever save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So far. The separation and the judgment is now explained so that the disciple of Christ will know the separation tool. Let me repeat that. This passage is here so that you will know what the separation tool is. And that is the gospel itself. This is how the separation and judgment in the earthly kingdom will be accomplished. When the gospel is preached, you either accept it, as our catechism says, with a believing heart, or you are ashamed of it. Nothing else matters. Your very spiritual life depends whether you go to heaven with him or are judged to go to hell depends on how you receive his gracious news of salvation. And then the caveat, and some will still be alive when he comes back. Now you think you have enough, but you don't. You need to add more scripture to your understanding, because when he comes back, he separates and he judges his people who are the sheep who rise to life, and not his people, the goats who rise to death. Turn with me now to Matthew 25. First of all, once again, we're still in the Gospels and we're listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. He tells us everything we need to know. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, the same words are used. Let us know exactly what's happening. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, that is the sheep, come, you are who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In other words, this is God's plan. And then finally to John chapter 5. We haven't heard from him yet. But John, the disciple, the great apostle, in chapter 5, gives us some more words from Jesus. Beginning in verse 28, John chapter 5. The Lord says, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of light, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So here is another main theme, that when he comes back, he separates. When he comes back, he judges. He separates the weeds from the wheat, the sheep from the goats. But when he comes back, it is the second resurrection of the living and the dead. Now, this is all the words of the Lord himself. And it seems to me to explain what will happen very clearly when he comes back. On the clouds, with his holy angels. And so turn your eyes to heaven to await that. Confidently. Why? Because he said so. To separate, to judge his people from not his people. And then to resurrect those he separated and judged. As a shepherd separates sheep from goats. To either eternal damnation or eternal glory. And the method to determine this judgment to resurrected life or to the second death is none other than what we do here every single week, twice a week, but it is the preaching of the gospel. Now, let's use our catechism again. Turn with me to page 42 in the back of your hymnals. Just to reiterate our teaching tool this evening and what it says about this very method, this very tool. It's interesting what our catechism calls this tool. It calls it a key of the kingdom of God. Question 83 says, what are the keys of the kingdom? And the answer is the preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline toward repentance. That is what we do. We preach and we lead people in the right way. We disciple them. And discipline is a method of discipling with the gospel. Both preaching and discipline open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. And then listen to question and answer 84. How does preaching the gospel open and close the kingdom of heaven? It says, according to the command of Christ. The kingdom of heaven is opened by proclaiming and publicly declaring to each and every believer that, as often as he accepts the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of what Christ has done, truly forgives all his sins. The kingdom is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring, meaning the gospel again, to unbelievers and hypocrites that as long as they do not repent, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. And listen to this. This sums it up. God's judgment, both in this life and in the life to come, is based or depends on this gospel testimony. May I say this? What we do here on this earth, in this church, right now, has eternal ramifications. That's what the gospel says. But that's not all. But wait, there's more. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I hear so much on Christian television about the secret coming of Christ and the rapture. In the book of Acts, he went up bodily and visibly, and the angels said that's the way he's going to come back. I think it's really important to hear what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about this great event of Jesus coming back. Because when he comes back, this is the end. This is the end. The word in Greek is telos. This is called the telos. T-E-L-O-S. It means specifically the end. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, but each in its own order, Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And here's the key phrase. Then comes the end. You have to understand what that means. That's it. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When the end comes, there is no more death. I don't know how to explain this in a clearer fashion. When he comes back, that's it. No more chances. No more decisions for Christ. No more standing on the fence. The end has come. And finally, this is what's called the consummation, in which everything as we know it will be destroyed. And now we read our passage from Peter, the Apostle, 2 Peter chapter 3, as we end our study this evening. The reason we read everything before is because you will not understand what's going on here unless you have the previous information. That's why the Bible is arranged the way that it is by the Lord himself. And that is why everything you need to know about what happens when Jesus comes back is all before the book of the Revelation. That's the last book of the Bible for a reason. Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, and Peter is on a mission. He wants to tell what truly is going to happen when the Lord comes back. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things were continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. And by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." I'm going to stop there for a minute. Just think of that. Bible says nobody knows when that's coming. Not even the Son knows. He knows it's going to happen, but he's waiting to do the will of his Father so that when he comes back, he will do it all perfectly. And then we continue with verse 11. Since all of these things are thus to be dissolved, here's what I want you to contemplate. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Let's stop there for a minute. Think of that. The more you live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be faster for him to come back. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. What kind of life should you live? That is the question. Because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. As we lift up our heads, as we look for his coming, the challenge to you this evening and the comfort that you have is that you still have work until he comes back. And the question that you need to give to yourself, to talk about with others in the church, to relay to those people who don't understand the gospel, is when the key of heaven is opened. That when the gospel goes into a heart, The automatic question that comes into that person's heart is, what kind of a person ought I to be to worship my Savior, Jesus Christ? Because He is all of the comfort that we get from this teaching. Because our purpose, our goal, our comfort comes from being only with Him. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Father, the challenge comes to us now as to how we live as we wait. As we wait for the Master to come back. He will harvest. He will separate. That's not what we worry about. What we worry about is what we do. What we do now has eternal ramifications. How should we, with loving hearts, accept Jesus Christ daily and listen to what He says? Because that is all of what we need to know about what will happen when He comes back. And when He comes back, He will ask one question of each and every one of us. Were we the ones who embraced His gospel? If the answer is yes, the key will turn and the kingdom of heaven will be open to us. But if we were ashamed of it, if we thought it was foolishness, if we defile His name, He will not welcome us. He will judge us, and He will send us not to be with Him, but to be eternally in damnation in hell. And these are powerful thoughts and powerful ideas, but this is exactly what the Creed wanted to teach us, that our only comfort is being with Jesus, our faithful Savior, in life and in death. Thank You so much for Your word and for our catechism. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.